How's it going today?
I'm feeling good.
I didn't know if you were going to make it over here. You were planning your burger bet, and then you were...
I didn't know Baskin and Phelps ended the show at 1:45.
I guess so. Incredibly awkward, by the way. Incredibly awkward back and forth between you and Dustin, as he was just not picking up that your calendar's filled.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff. Not Dustin Fox.
It was so classic.
One of our sales guy who I beat in a burger bet.
You beat him in this burger bet, and he goes, oh, so I got next week free. When you want to clean this thing up? When you want to go, I want to make you whole. When do you want to do this? And you're like, I don't know about next week.
I can't have four burgers in 1 week.
He gave you the whole week.
You've already given me my Swenson's card.
He literally was like Monday through Friday, like whatever day you want. Yep. Just pick out the day. We can get this done.
I'll get around to it.
I like to pay off my bets. And you're like, I don't know if I have this in me.
Four burgers in 2 weeks. All right. I'm trying to live to be at least 60 here. Yeah. Come on now.
I've seen that stop you before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
limit on burgers in a week. I've seen that.
That's the thing. Every other thing I don't limit myself on sugar, booze, any of that other stuff, but burgers, it's called self-restraint.
Well, you got to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah,
it's usually a stent in the artery. That's the line that we're drawing.
You're going to get to a spot where you tell them, like, you just have to bring it in.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going to happen here.
Yeah. That's the long play here.
Yeah, the Coach Riz, as we call it.
The only person that I would actually go out for a burger with was Daryl, and I'll be honest with you, that was tedious.
It didn't seem enjoyable.
Well, no, we had to drive to the same place, and then
who got out of whose car to get in?
He got out of his. I'm not getting in his car.
I
drive a beautiful truck. He's getting into my truck.
Okay.
But then you had to have the conversation, and then it was a lot. I didn't say it's a burger and a hangout bet.
I think that's what Daryl wanted out of all of this, though. I think that's what Dustin Cuck wanted as well.
But Daryl's the only one that gets it because he's an OG. I've known him since he was nine.
I don't understand why people think this is like a burger and a hangout sesh. That's not the bet. The bet is a burger.
Yeah, exactly.
And in my case, a digital burger.
No less.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I'm the transaction you want in life, by the way.
It's a little cheap, but it's better than...
Not in the slightest.
It's better than everything else.
Right in your email inbox. You don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to sweat about it until you want that burger, and then you go get that burger.
All right, we're having fun here.
Yeah, we're
having some fun here.
Yeah, all right, which is a setup to let us know that we're about to maybe get angry.
Yeah, and I think that's I want to preface this by saying that Jason Lloyd said something today on with the Modern Boys, the Ken Carmen Show. He said something on the Ken Carmen Show today.
With Anthony Wima.
And Owen. And producer we named later. A lot of people on that show.
Yeah.
Got Joey. Got Jeff.
Okay.
Got half the station working for him. Must be nice. But he was on the Ken Carmen Show. And he said something that's going to piss some of you off. It pissed me off. And I want to be clear here that when we react, I'm reacting to a thought that Jason's having that I do think people around the NFL actually echo. That I think that this isn't just Jason saying this. I think it's informed by what he hears from people around the NFL. But Jason was on with the Ken Carmen Show talking about Shador and his future with the Cleveland Browns.
Look at everything that Kevin went through over the last year with Shador and some of the stupidity and nonsense that was out there. What coach would want to sign up for that? Particularly when he didn't play that well. He wasn't that good. Like, I've been pretty adamant. He shouldn't be on this team. Like, to me, Shador should not be on this team next year. He's not good enough to be the starter, and this organization is not stable and mature enough to have him as a backup. They've proven that. So what, are you going to draft another quarterback and put him atop Shador, and then all the stuff comes back again about, well, what about Shador? When are you going to play Shador? Like, no thanks. Hard pass.
This literally happens all the time in the NFL. Just as a quick aside, that guy started for us last year. Now he's the backup. That's called the NFL.
That's called like the Saints every year for the previous decade. Yeah, I don't know what we're getting at here. Raiders for a million years.
I want to make it clear that when I say this, I'm speaking to the idea. I'm not speaking to Jason. I like Jason a lot. I think that this line of thinking is still too prevalent when it comes to people to talk about Shador. Jason, the part we didn't play there is part of his answer, and Ken went back at him. I thought Ken did a great job kind of pushing back.
No, that was good, and I want examples. This is exactly what I was thinking in the moment. It's like, give me the examples you don't like, Jason.
And the best thing we got was he mimed some words.
That pantomiming really hurt Shador for some reason.
It became like he called somebody a bad word, like he called somebody an unforgivable word, like a slur or something. But I just can't do this. I cannot do what I think is a lazy narrative around the NFL. Not that Jason's, this is, again, Jason is informed by what he hears from people. I think part of the conversation as a head coach, I think it's the greatest litmus test in the world. Hey, what do you think about Shador? And if you go, poor Kevin Stefanski, he really, I mean, he had questions. Like the whole point of, wow, you can't have Shador back. The whole point on why this was supposed to be torture for a head coach is Kevin Stefanski got a lot of stupid questions about Shador Sanders. Yeah. Have we listened to these press conferences? It's an occupational hazard.
Well, but I am interested in that side of this, by the way. The idea of if you really want this job, you're trying to be a head coach for the Browns, you really want this job, and you're trying to give them the answers you think they want instead of whatever your genuine answer is. How do they answer this with Shador?
I think you answer it honestly. I know you want to get the job, but I think Andrew Berry is in Shador's corner in one way or another. Answer it honestly.
I always thought he was in Shador's corner as well. And so, but like at this point, what exactly is that best answer? What answer do we think that the Browns want to hear? If you're sitting across and the head coach is a potential head coach candidate, what answer would you specifically want to hear?
I wouldn't have an answer. No, that's not true. I would just want to, what have you seen from him on tape? I don't care about the outside noise. What have you seen from the kid? Have you met him? What do you think of him? Because if you've met him, we saw him. He seems like a really great kid.
It's a tough question to answer, right? Because if you go into the idea that, he had no offensive line, he dealt with a million different injuries on the offensive side of the ball, basically no skill position players of value, Jerry Jeudy's not a true number one. Like, you're just trashing the offense at the start of the convo to the guy that built the offense.
You think Andrew Berry doesn't know that offensive line was problematic?
Doesn't mean he's going to want to hear it.
Take the job.
But it's tough though. Like, so I don't know what that answer is. I don't know how you shape this, but I do think that Andrew Berry wants Shador to be here. And so I think the new head coach is gonna have to get on board with that, I would imagine.
I would imagine, again, to some degree. But the idea that Shador shouldn't be here because Kevin Stefanski was annoyed at questions, I can't do this. Like, at some point we all gotta be adults about this, and I feel mostly about that way about NFL coaches. Like, if an NFL coach who's never sat in a room with the kid or hasn't sat in a room with him since last draft cycle, where Shador has had a full year to become a different person and learn from his experience in the NFL, if your thing is, well, he made me upset in the pre-draft process, if you're stuck to that, which Kevin, I think, was for far too long this year, cool, you don't get the job. And it's not, and by the way, it's not that I think Shador should be gifted anything. It is a, what are we doing here? Like, the kid came in, he did everything he was asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
We can haggle over what you thought the tape said, how good he was, stats. Ooh, everybody knows stats. Give me the QBR, baby. Like, I get it. You can have every one of those conversations,
EPA
and it's fair game.
EPA is what
game.
They like now.
The EPA, I mean.
Yeah, QBR, you're talking,
it's
you're a dinosaur.
The Environment Protection Agency. We got to protect the environment, and Shador doesn't want to, right? I think that's the take. Is that not the take?
Oh, it's like a global warming EPA? Truthers? Is
yeah,
that
I think
what that
so.
Is? Are they all in the same camp together?
I think so. EPA. Shador's EPA scores bad.
The whole thing just seems a little silly. It does. I don't love the idea that people want to make it seem like Shador is going to be the end all be all in this answer, and whether or not. But I mean, coaches can definitely eliminate themselves if they don't handle this right and with Andrew Berry in the whole entire process.
Isn't it leadership though? Like, I want a leader of men, right?
Yeah, that's what you've been saying.
Everybody here now is saying leader of men, and that's. A little nebulous. It's a little hard to define.
It is.
But much like pornography, you know it when you see it.
That's right. Yeah.
So if a coach says to me, he's going to get a lot of social media posts about this. Okay, you're not a leader of men.
Well, I would also say, what quarterback isn't getting social media posts and clicks and likes at this point? They all have Instagrams.
If a quarterback in their social media presence, and honestly, if you think Shador's a little immature and that turns you off, grow up. Like, honestly, I cannot handle...
It'll come from the same guys that'll say he's immature while watching videos of Cam Scataboo and
Jackson Dart.
And Jackson Dart throw his head through an actual, like, legitimate plasterized part of a wall and be like, no, but that guy's cool. That guy's just a gamer. That guy just has a lot of gumption, that guy. It's like, what are you talking about?
If you're afraid of the noise around Shador, honestly, you're chicken bleep. Like, really, you don't, like, and this isn't a Browns thing, it's not a Shador thing. Like, if a guy doesn't show up on time, if a guy is disrespectful, if a guy won't work, if a guy doesn't want to learn, if he, like, those are the things that are my non-negotiables. He's got a big TikTok following, and we get some questions about it. We get questions about the backup quarterback. Get out of my building. Like, it's the simplest thing in the world. And it's in it, honestly, at some point, it's insulting. Like, to all the people who all they can do, listen, you want to not like the kid? That's on you. That's fine. I have been called a supporter because I simply didn't crap on him every chance and do the reductive thing where the tape was pretty okay considering everything, and I didn't go, he's a failure, and just get pissed about it, right? By the way, because it's low-hanging fruit and it's not altogether true. But the point is, if you can't handle, like, I just, this idea that Kevin Stefanski went through some sort of war experience, like them drafting Shador Sanders was his Vietnam, is so incomparably dumb. One, it's insulting to Kevin Stefanski and makes him look like a total B.
Yeah.
Two, it paints a picture that this big, tough NFL, these leader of men, these, oh, we're real football men, right? Oh, man, we're tough. I'm going to fight you in a bar. I'm going to watch Roadhouse and get with a bunch of guys and beat each other up.
Did you just try to score a defensive touchdown there? Is that what happened?
I gave the little whoop, give a little honk honk.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Because I'm a football guy.
You seem like
guy.
You're starting a lawnmower when you grab it. It's insane.
Let me beat my chest here. I'm a football guy. I'm like Leo with McConaughey on Coke and Wolf of Wall Street. I'm a football guy. Not Shador. Oh, no. Lord, not a question about a backup quarterback. Please, Lord.
All the humanity.
Take my firstborn son, but not Shador. Not a question about Shador. Dear God. Three questions in one session?
Yeah.
About Shador? No.
Why'd you say his name like a question mark?
No. Please, God.
Shador?
Take my wife, but don't make me deal with questions about Shador Sanders.
Yeah, I know. God forbid we have to answer about his development or answer about just a simple thing about how his game went. I agree with you. I think it's very, very soft of any potential head coach to come into a building and then tell Andrew Berry we can't do it because of Shador. It's incredibly soft.
I want to be there.
Andrew Berry likes Shador. I don't think he's ready to say I'm done with him and this is your call.
It's not about Shador, though, to me. It's about how stupid.
What's about what he symbolizes to you is the idea here.
It's about how stupid this is.
Can you deal with any sort of whether he is doing it or whether it's his fans doing it or whether the people around him, whatever it comes with Shador, can you deal with that? And if you can't, I got bad news for you. There's always going to be a quarterback with an Instagram following. There's always going to be a wide receiver that wants to go on Dancing with the Stars. There's always going to be a running back that is dating a Kardashian. Okay, like this exists all throughout the NFL. It always will. It's just going to be a different guy. If you can't handle it now, you're not going to be able to handle it in the future.
I'm embarrassed. And I, in fairness, like, because it's not just about football guys. It's about the way reporters have started to get upset and basically blame the kid because there's Shador fans out there, supporters, who will go after them on social media.
Well, they won't be happy until this turns into Tebow. They called it Tebow Mania 2.0, and those set of people won't be happy until it legitimately turns into Tebow, where he tries to play a different sport or something stupid, or tries to come back as a tight end or something insane like that. Like, that's what they want out of all this. And that's where I just think it just doesn't sit well with
me. Like, at some point, if we all agree, Shador's been nothing but a great kid. He's been in the community. He clearly did the work necessary, no matter what you thought about the on-field product.
Mm-hmm.
If this is such a hang-up for a coach, I instantly lose all respect, and I would feel that way no matter who it is. If it was Quinshon Judkins, well, but he's on social media. Like, grow up. And I honestly do think, like, I like the idea that Shador shouldn't be here because of anything other than football. If you want to say you don't think he's an NFL quarterback, make your case.
Yeah.
I disagree with you, but we can have a disagreement here. But we can never just have the conversation about the football player because everyone gets stuck up on anything other than football. If you just look at the kid and if you look at the football, that's where the conversation belongs. And if a coach can't jive with that, he's exposed himself in an incredibly embarrassing way.
Yeah, and listen, he hasn't earned the same, whatever you want to say, platitudes, everything else that I'm going to attach to how Ben Johnson treated Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was the number one overall pick.
Yes.
There was a lot more to that, obviously, so I'm not going to, whatever. But like when Caleb Williams, after year one, people started talking about all sorts of different things around Caleb Williams. Did he actually hate Chicago? What's the deal with painting the nails? Is he soft? Is he this? Is he that? All these things. And Ben Johnson, by all reported accounts, conference, went into the meetings with everyone that mattered, and was like, I got this. This is my guy. He's the least of our problems. We got to get a guard center guard. He's the least of our problems, okay? That's a good thing. We want this type of guy. And like that should be the mentality. And that doesn't mean, obviously, Shador is Caleb Williams. I'm not saying that. But the idea is that you should come into the situation and say, that's the least of our worries. That's the least of our problems.
474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Jason Lloyd says, Shador shouldn't be here next year. Do you agree or disagree? I said agree in a weird way there. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got John Fanta, the burger bet shirking. He's shirking the responsibility.
I love the development from Fanta with this.
At 4:20, Jersey John joining us at 4:20 today. Albert Breer at 5:20. We'll talk a lot about the Browns coaching search. Who's the right candidate? Was Kevin the scapegoat? All that. Lance Reisland coming up at 6 o'clock today. A loaded show to talk about, but should Shador be here next year? Is he too much of a distraction for the new head coach and the Shador experience? We're gonna put a little bow on it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I just feel like
are they gonna handle it?
We gotta cue the Sarah McLachlan. I'll answer your question. I did finally come around to an answer on your question.
Okay, yeah.
Which is, if you're Andrew Berry, what do you want to hear from the prospective head coaches? Just if Shador comes up,
because obviously everyone's done interviews in life. There's obviously questions that you if you trip over and you don't answer that correctly, there's the whole job interview.
I just want to hear, what do you think of the football? And have you met the young man? If for 1 second you go, a lot of noise around him, okay, you're done. It really is. It's not really about Shador, because I don't know if Shador is going to be able to be the starter next year. I like some of the things I saw down the stretch. I didn't like some of the other things. People who said they didn't see development, I think, quite frankly, weren't really watching the games, because I think he did a lot of interesting stuff in the back half of it, something that I'm more than willing to give Kevin Stefanski and Shador both credit for. But I just think it's like the simplest trip up. I also think it's, you know, hey, what do you think of the working dynamic here? I think that's another one. I think if you're Andrew Berry, I think there are 30 questions you're going to ask a candidate in the first 2 hours. And I think there are 5 trip up points. And I think you can find, hey, what do you think about Jimmy Haslam? Right? I think you can
find out. Which is an incredibly hard question to answer. And I don't know that you can go through a whole interview being 100% honest with the Browns brass and walk away getting the job. I don't know that that's possible.
But I think in this case, like the guys that I like, and I'll be honest, when we say leader of men, you are talking Dan Campbell. You are talking Mike Vrabel, right? So it can look a lot of different ways here. I think Brian Flores is a no BS leader of men. I think Brian is a tell it like it is kind of guy. I think the Browns need somebody who can speak truth to ownership, maybe push back on Andrew respectfully within that context, and then speak the truth to the Browns fans. I don't think it's that hard to find. The question is, do the Browns really want that? And I think that's where it's going to complicate the Shador thing.
Well, because
you might want honesty on Shador, and then you might not want honesty
and this is part of what Jason was talking about, that idea that this head coach is going to have all this say over everything and going to have the discussions on that. And I know what Andrew Berry said in the press conference. I get it. I just don't know that I 100% believe it. Like, I do wonder at the end of the day, if Andrew Berry seems like he really likes Shador, is that going to outweigh whatever this new head coach's thought process actually is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he might come in there and he might have the best of intentions of sending Shador Sanders to the curb, and then Andrew Berry puts up the stop sign and says, not so fast. That's not what we're doing here.
Yeah, I think the Browns have flexibility. I don't disagree with somebody who says the Browns have the worst quarterback in the room going into the offseason. Yeah, because they don't have the number one pick. Like, technically, I think the Raiders is a little bit more problematic, but they don't have the number one pick like the Raiders do to fix it, right? There's not an easy fix. So you're either going to have to get creative with a veteran, which gets dangerous real quick, or you're going to have to fall back on this quarterback room and think maybe it's more than we think it is. That's a possibility. Like, the possibility that this quarterback job comes down to Shador, Deshaun Watson, and Dylan Gabriel, that's a real possibility.
I mean, it seems more likely than not at this point.
Yes, absolutely. Because here's the thing. I think Shador played well enough, and I think Deshaun has enough people that, for some reason, still think he can play. I think you can have a conversation at some point of like, all right, is any of what we get, if we maximize what they do, is it better than any one of the three guys in that room? Because that's the thing with Shador, and Dylan Gabriel, in fairness, you're thinking, can these guys get better? Can these guys be better than what we saw?
Well, or also, were they just so hamstrung with the amount of lack of talent around us that they never even got a fair shake to begin with?
Yeah.
Because they do have to ask themselves that question. I know fans always look at that as a cop-out, and I'm making excuses and all this stuff. But, I mean, just consistently, go back and look at how bad the offensive talent was around Shador. It just... Even Dylan, in many respects, it didn't really stand a chance.
I know we're in doom and gloom season. So the Browns are the worst organization in sports. Nobody wants this job. That's not true. That's you being pissed about where they are. It's the worst quarterback in the room. Worst quarterback room in the NFL. You can make that case. I don't agree with you. I think there's some promise in that room, but I understand that's how you're feeling. But you're also feeling that way because the Browns just went 5-12 and fired Kevin Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
Every little bit, the doom and gloom, there's no way to get better this offseason. Guys, you should expect them to be better next offseason. They're going to be aggressive in building this team. They have some assets to make it better.
I'm dying to find out what they're going to do that way.
No, absolutely.
Like, if Andrew Berry's on the hot seat entering this upcoming year, you'd think he would throw the kitchen sink at trying to keep his job and trying to fill out that offensive line and get as many good, talented players as he possibly can. Like, hey, he's got to understand he doesn't have all day with this.
But I think you've got to separate the immediate of, yes, it's a blow to make another change. Yes, there's a lot of failure the last 2 years with, okay, you have options. You went into last offseason. There was no chance DTR was going to be part of the conversation. There was no part of Deshaun Watson that was going to factor into this year because of the injury. You had a complete blank slate, which allowed you to then go do Flacco, Pickett, Shador, and Dylan Gabriel. You have some continuity in that room. That's at least a place to start. Can you upgrade on it? I'm sure you can.
There's always somebody that pops open.
But I guess let's be clear here. If you want Kyler Murray, that's the kind of upgrade we're talking about. Tua Tagovailoa's name is going to be out there. I'm definitively out on Tua. I'm mostly out, but some part in on Kyler. Short King room. It's going to happen. Mm. But that's Kirk Cousins. Oh, an old guy that might play one game and might not have the arm strength anymore to play in cold weather. These are the options. So... At painting this like, one, painting it like it's doom and gloom, or painting it like it's just easy to go out and fix the quarterback, it's not. And it's going to take a lot of conversations with a head coach and with Andrew Berry. And this idea that if you're all, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
If your entire offseason and the success that you think will or won't be is based off the quarterback room, I think you should be prepared to be disappointed. Because as of right now, there's no definitive path.
You mean them getting an upgrade is what you're saying?
Yeah, because...
Well,
guys,
again, think about how hard it is to get an upgrade in general. The reason why they ended up trading for Deshaun Watson and making that big move is that players, even if it didn't work out, players of that caliber, they don't become open. Like, that's the truism of the NFL is if you're going to find your next quarterback, you have to do it in the draft. Well, if you're not doing it through the draft... You're not going to find him. Yeah. He's just not out there. I know we all think that the next Sam Darnold is just going to fall into our laps. First off, I don't know who the next head coach is, so I can't speak to what they can and can't do offensively, but it's not realistic, guys.
216-474-0092. Jason Lloyd says Shador shouldn't be here next year. I vehemently disagree with both the idea and the reasoning behind the idea, but I want to make it very clear here. I'm disagreeing with the idea and the idea behind it, and I'm probably as frustrated about it because I think it's still a thought in NFL circles.
So what will it tell you if it does happen, though?
What do you mean?
Like, if it does happen, once we stop with the coaching search and figure everything out, Shador Sanders is not a member of the Browns, what will that tell you?
It depends on if I think Shador asked to be traded.
Oh. I hadn't considered that.
This is the fellow that
I hadn't
told Baltimore,
that.
Hey, I don't want to come there because I don't want to be the backup.
It was a very different set of circumstances at that point.
Totally fair, but
I mean, that would be, that'd be quite the move from
Shador. If Shador wanted to be here and the Browns didn't want him, I'd be very confused because I think Andrew Berry's why he's here.
I'd be very confused, too. I don't see him asking for that, but maybe he had some sort of tiff with one of the... Maybe he gets promised a job somewhere else. I don't know. That doesn't seem likely after this last season, but I'm trying to figure out the scenario because, again, we can shoot it down and say that we think Jason is crazy for suggesting a head coach this would really get in their head, and then why should they want him here? But it's not a 0% chance. It isn't. It's not a 0% chance. There could be a head coach that they'd go with that would say, I want to see Shador out the door, and that's part of the deal. I didn't mean to rhyme that way.
I love when you go full Seuss.
Didn't mean to happen.
Let's throw a little grenade into the show. Jim, welcome to the show. Jim in Strongsville.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, guys, there's so much to unpack here. Listen, I don't think Shador should be a big topic of conversation in any of an interview. I know you guys are going to say he's the guy that started the last game for the Cleveland Browns. Listen, and I know you think that Barry is really high on Shador Sanders. You know what? Is Barry going to bet his job on it? Because guess what next year is? He'd be betting his job that Shador is going to get him enough and look good enough to get him into the next season. That's why this isn't a very good job, guys. It's not a very good job because if you're a head coach coming in, you know your GM's on the hot seat. You know your GM has a hard time drafting players.
Jim, real quick, I think that's the number one question if I'm a head coaching candidate. Is this a transitional period with Andrew, or is Andrew safe? Because I think it's incredibly important with what Jimmy Haslam just did that Andrew isn't on the hot seat.
Kick Andrew out the door and be like, all right, let me talk to Jimmy.
Yeah, like, let's get this guy, because in fairness, real quick, I think you bring up a good point, but if Andrew's a lame duck, then it does become a bad job. And you have to every one of these coaching candidates have to suss that out. I hope Jimmy's smarter than bringing a guy back to make him the fall guy next year. I'm going to need to see the proof, though.
I mean, this is what happens, though. We say we hope he's smart enough. It almost never works out when you keep one guy and let the other guy go. And we all know what Andrew Berry's track record is with drafting the positions of need on this team right now. They're not very good. And we think we have this cap room to go out and – how are you going to put an offense? We don't have enough draft picks. Even if we put five rookies out there on the offensive line, that's not going to be any better. Then you didn't address wide receiver.
I think you need
a value.
You can fix. You need an offensive line, and you need a wide receiver. And granted, you have other needs around that. Like you never have enough great players. But like everything that I just said, in one offseason, you can get, especially with three top 60 picks. And
you can do a lot to a roster.
Here's the thing. People keep talking about cap space. They've opened up cap space every offseason. They're going to be able to do that even if they still are suffering from the impact of the Deshaun contract.
Just real quick. Yes, they have opened, and they've opened it up for people like Malik Collins. And yes, Nick, that they've opened money up. Not as much as you think. They couldn't get the veteran quarterback last year because guess what? We got outbid. Yes, they can open up money by pushing. Yes.
This year was kind of the dead year. And granted,
next year's going to be too.
They're going to push Watson's money back too.
It's not just Watson's money too. The amount of dead money we have with offensive linemen is going to be really startling to people. That number is near $40 million.
Yeah. So take that, Nick. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Jim.
By the way, it's
a weird way to end it.
Shador is one of the three quarterbacks in the room going into the offseason. That's the quarterback is going to be one of the biggest things you talk about. And you're going to talk about three guys. And by the way, Dylan, by virtue of being a late third-round pick, is somebody you should talk about. Shador, by being the guy that started seven games, went 3-4 and actually played good football. And if you watch tape,
both costing about $1 million each.
And so they're also under contract and
very,
affordable.
Very, very friendly and affordable
here's
contract.
Here's the thing. You're going to have to talk about Deshaun, too. So I just think, like, all of this is a part of the conversation. And, guys, a lot of these interviews last 8, 9, 10, 11 hours because it's a pretty comprehensive thing you got to walk through. 216-474-0092.
You mean they don't just listen for 7 minutes and then give someone a big time job?
No, you don't do that. That only works on national radio.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. I wanted to make sure we knew.
But you got to have, like, worked for the Savannah Bananas. I think that's if you worked for a really funny team, you're clearly funny. Jason Lloyd says Shador Sanders shouldn't be here next year.
That one's for us, guys.
That's for us. Agree or disagree? And somebody around the NFL thinks highly of Kevin Stefanski. Just wait till you hear who it is. That's leads off quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel!
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Kevin Stefanski is a popular name in coaching circles, including in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We do have word that Kevin will talk with the Titans on Saturday, but within New York, with the Giants, this, of course, led the New York media to asking quarterback Jackson Dart what he thinks of Kevin Stefanski.
Coach Stefanski was great. He's had a really good career, especially from an offensive side of things. I thought that, you know, the visit with him and his staff went well, and I think he's a really good coach.
All right. He said nothing.
He said nothing.
Would Kevin Stefanski, with Jonathan Gannon in as his defensive coordinator and Jackson Dart as his quarterback, will you have faith that that's going to work out?
I don't have faith that it's going to work out with... I think the best situation for him, legitimately, where I'd be like, all right, maybe he stumbles into an 8-9 or something like that, would be Atlanta. I've been saying I think the Raiders make the most sense if I were him, but the problem with the Raiders is that I think he's going to ruin Mendoza. Mm-hmm. I think he'd wake up 2 years later and be like, oh, Mendoza doesn't throw the ball down the field. I turned him into a check down Charlie, and he stinks at football, and now all of a sudden, I don't have it. Because I think Stefanski's only as good as the players around him. He needs a loaded roster, and there's not really a loaded roster. Atlanta's about as good as it gets. The Giants aren't bad, though, but I don't think it's going to work out, but I don't think it's going to work out anywhere with Kevin.
It's weird. I think Dart fits what Kevin wants to do more than Penix does, but not Cousins in Atlanta. Here's the thing. I think Jackson Dart is just a knockoff Baker. He's kind of a meathead. I will say not as incendiary. More does the coach speak. So I think you can be competent with Jackson Dart. But I think, like you're saying, you're always going to be at the whim of how much talent do you have around him. And so do I think Kevin could be there for 5 to 7 years, maybe win a playoff game or two? Sure, but I think at some point you're going to get to a point where you're like, well, he's not Mahomes, he's not Josh Allen, and either Kevin gets blamed on that or you have to go to another quarterback.
Well, wouldn't that just be Kevin signing up for his own version of Groundhog Day? Like, yes. He's been there, done that, got the T-shirt.
Without Jimmy Haslam, like, Morris are a little more chill.
Okay, yeah, you're right, but like, I don't know that it's going to be enough to overcome the idea that he had a real problem with a quarterback with a bunch of personality that wanted to showcase that consistently and then also played a little reckless at times. I got a feeling it's going to go the same exact way.
I think the bigger problem is Jackson Dart is such a dum-dum when it comes to not like, he kind of has taken the Cam Newton approach of like, hey, I'm a quarterback. I take hits. That's what I do. Cam Newton was 6'6", 260 pounds, and it ended his career prematurely.
We can't discount the idea that sometimes people, when they're in what is obviously awful situations, years later, then try to make it seem as if everything was okay and that everything's awesome then, and they want to like run that entire thing back. Like, that's a thing that happens in life. There's a reason why the Raiders right now are people are having conversations about would Brady go to Belichick? If Brady has the call, does he hire Belichick to the Raiders? It's like, they hated each other. They couldn't stand each other in New England. But if they think that's the only way the band works, then they got an idea it might actually end up being a thing. And so maybe there's a part of Stefanski where he's like, I can write what went wrong with Baker Mayfield if I get shot 2.0 at it. And then he does that. But I think he's setting himself up for a disaster.
Omaha!
All right, Travis Kelce, definitely a target for NFL broadcasters, according to a report out there. He would command 8 figures. He would enter the NFL broadcasting at a moment when the industry is already incredibly loaded with recently retired stars. Travis Kelce doing football broadcast, interested or not at all?
Depending on the role. I think Travis has got a great personality. I think it's like J.J. Watt. If you put him on a studio panel or a pregame show, a post, whatever, I think he'd be a lot of fun. I think if you try and make him, put him in the booth, like J.J. Watt's a big old dum-dum. He can't do...
He didn't know the rules.
He can't do simplex thoughts.
I got so mad at that game. That Browns-Steelers game. Iron Eagle's great. JJ just did not know the rules at all.
I'm going to get so pissed when Travis Kelce becomes the number two guy at Fox and Greg Olson gets kicked down one spot farther because Fox only chases names.
Travis has to do the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes.
That's how
that's going to work.
I want Greg Olson on Thursday Night Football. Give me a real play-by-play guy.
Yeah, I can see that.
And Greg Olson.
Hey, listen, I'll kick Herb Street and his dog to the curb at this point.
It's just not good. I'll leave the dog. I like the dog.
Well, I like the dog, but he's kind of like a package deal with Herb Street.
I love Kirk in college football. His NFL.
He's great in college football. He just stretches himself too thin.
Well, I think that's fair. I also think it's funny that the NFL is easier to know because you have less teams than you do in college football. And Kirk struggles.
Also, though,
with that.
I do kind of want to see him without somebody that's falling asleep 24/7 on that job. It would be nice to have him, because Herb Street's smart. We know he knows what he's doing with this. I'd like to give him a chance with somebody that isn't Al Michaels at this point.
Kick him to Fox's third show.
He doesn't want that.
Yeah.
He's not doing the travel for all that.
You know what the problem is try and find me the guy that, like, Burkhart's got Brady on Fox, so you're not taking him. Find me the guy. Find me the guy that replaces Al Michaels. There really aren't a lot of great play. There's a lot of play-by-play
everything,
guys.
Everything right now is going to either Joe Davis or Jason Benetti. That's the new rule.
Yep.
If you're young and there's a job that's open, that's where it's going.
To be Benetti. I've said it for a while now.
Yeah, man, he's really got it going on.
Ohio State legend Bobby Carpenter spoke about Bucks Ohio State defensive coordinator Matt Patricia's future in Columbus on 97.1 The Fan yesterday.
I think that Matt likes it here. Does he want to stay here long term? I think that there's a thought that he did. I know that Ryan really appreciates him being here. Mm-hmm. The only question that I have when it comes is, would he rather coach in the NFL versus college? Because I think based upon how well his defense did, there's going to be a number of people that may be interested in him coaching in the NFL.
Unlike Chip Kelly, year one, and I want to see Matt Patricia back in Ohio State. But if I am, especially if I have a New England tie, if I am a head coach looking for a lockdown, great defensive coordinator hire, Matt Patricia's got to be at the top of the list here.
I would think so. It's interesting. The NFL world, if it's not associated to Belichick, has just kind of turned its shoulder on him. And you'd have to think the Buckeyes did a world of service for him. I'm not as invested in him getting another shot at it. I feel like he's had a lot of shots. I like him in the college game.
I like him in the college game. But I wonder if Chip Kelly hurts Matt Patricia trying to go back at the NFL. Because Chip Kelly got $6 million. A year, I don't know how long that contract was, to fail in Las Vegas. I wonder if people are like, well, maybe this is just working out on the college ranks. I wonder if that hurts Patricia.
If you're Patricia, what's the longer play here, right? Because I think we can both agree he's never getting an NFL head coaching job again. Is it waiting it out to be offered a defensive coordinator job in the NFL? Or is it waiting till like after 3 or 4 years of being awesome at Ohio State, you get a really high profile college football job?
I guess that's maybe kind of up to what he wants. I don't think Matt's a head coach. I think he likes scheming things open. I think he likes having a smaller group of people.
Yeah, but
he thinks
he's a head coach is the problem.
I don't know about that. I haven't gotten that from him at least. I think he should understand that his bread and butter is spent in the next 20 years as Steve Spagnuolo and making a just ridiculous amount of money in the NFL. I just think it's an easier job in the NFL. I think college, there's so many moving parts. The portal, I don't know. I guess if you don't have to recruit, it's an easier job, but still, there's too many things you can't factor in from year to year in college that I think the NFL job is, as long as you got a good head coach, is a pretty easy job.
Omaha! All right, let's go to the NBA. Steve Kerr last night got ejected. Snoop Dogg ended up being on the call on Peacock, and this is how it went down.
Uh-oh, Steve, don't get thrown out. Get him out of there. Get him out of there. Back him up. Back him up, GP. Back him up, Steve. Ready to fire.
He's already gone.
Steve banging Inglewood right now. Inglewood, get him, Steve. You and Inglewood, Steve. The Arizona Wildcat that came out and look at him.
Snoop Dogg, he's fun. That's why they put him on hockey games. Now he's doing the NBA games where he's just popping on. And basically, I listened to a decent portion of it. It was him just yelling about how much he thinks the game sucks now.
Yeah.
While everyone else was like, we don't want to get in trouble here, Snoop. Just calm it down a little bit. And he's like, no, they just post up. What are we doing? That was fun. A lot of fun.
I think, whereas the Manning cast, you can only really do the Manning cast for football, because those Manning brothers, they don't really know anything. They don't know how to tie their own shoes, but they know football, right? I think you could have
quarter zips.
I think you could have a blunt cast. And I think Snoop, it could
like
be
him and Marshawn Lynch.
I think it'd just be Snoop. You're going to need somebody to actually talk when he just zones out because he's higher than hell. But I think you could do the blunt cast on every sport.
Is what Garrett Blunt invited.
Like 1 week it's this NBA game. The next week it's a bad NFL game. And I would watch the ever loving hell out of the blunt cast as it goes from sport to sport. The blunt cast in baseball? Are you kidding me? Snoop just trying to be like, is Bob Gibson still pitching? Like, it would be the funniest damn thing.
Like, it's not 1968, Snoop. What's going on?
Right?
I hard pass. Hard pass on the blunt cast.
Why?
Good novelty. Good idea in theory.
Well,
the execution would be awful. Who's your all-star cast on the blunt cast?
Well, no, I mean,
let's break it down. Who's our guy?
The blunt belongs to Snoop.
Yeah, and Snoop has to pass it around, obviously.
Then there's probably...
Who's he passing it to?
There's another lead guy. All right, and he's kind of boring, maybe dour, maybe hadn't made love
like
in a while.
I up like sponsors like the Cheech and Chong tequila or whatever it is, or the Willie Nelson tequila, whatever that is.
That's a little looking down over there.
What do you mean?
They have Quiznos as one of the sponsors because it's blunts.
Oh, Doritos, the whole gang. Everybody gets involved. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Very derivative rundown.
It's all Taco Bell commercials. That's it. It's all Taco Bell.
Yeah, but you'd sell a butt ton of Taco
Bell. Munchies, am I right? You're watching that cast. You're playing along.
No, I think
it's an interactive at-home game. That's all this is.
So I will say, you got to build
a
cast.
But who stars in it?
Well, no, it's Snoop Dogg. But you have to have like a Joe Davis lead it or a Jason Benetti. You have to have a...
But they're straight edge then.
Yeah, no. They're sober. And their job is, hey, 25-yard pass, you know. Hey,
Connor Bedard for
the hat trick.
This was basically every Monday Night Football crew we had for like the 1970s to 1995, except instead of weed, it was alcohol.
Yeah, but you got to have somebody a little fun.
You know, like it was just everyone was boozed up calling these games 24/7.
But a little fun, but then Snoop gets to just...
Owners would bring booze to the booth and be like, this will keep you warm.
Snoop's Iverson, all right? He needs the ball in his hand, except when he doesn't. And that's basically your job. There is Snoop's feeling a little low right now. He's refilling the tank, as it were.
Yeah,
and
he's asleep on the beanbag chair in the corner.
So talk. Basically, it's fill time when Snoop's too high, right? But you could bring in a cascade. I guess Marshawn could be a guy. Honestly, anybody that just likes weed could be a guy.
I don't even. NBA. I think this would have horrible execution. But I want to see you go to TNT and make a pitch.
No, it's the blunt.
I want to see you go to ESPN and make a pitch. I want to see you in front of executives.
I can sell the blunt
making the pitch for this and being like, guys, I got it.
Yeah,
this is what we need.
It's like inside the NBA, but with copious amounts of secondhand smoke.
That show could use a boost at this point. People forget it's even on TV at this point.
Well, no, I'm not going to do it.
Do it. Do it.
Good for them. I like those guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm not going to take a shot at ESPN. Great network there. They do wonderful. They're very original. Thought processes. They know talent. Do you have a favorite candidate? Because I think we're going to...
For the blunt cast, yeah.
That's Snoop. Yeah. Be weird if you were like, what about Nick Jones?
I have a guy. Yes, I have a guy for the Browns that I like the most. And in saying it, I understand that I'm not happy about it.
We will name guys for the Browns. One guy each in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.